That's the 92nd Street. The equipment's out there. I'm going to take a look.
Okay.
I'm going to call the City of Franklin's Plan Commission to order. Mr. Fuchs, you please take the roll.
Commissioner Mifflin?
Here.
Commissioner Ritter?
Here.
Commissioner Haley?
Excused.
Mayor Taylor?
Here.
Commissioner Bennett?
Here.
Alderman Skaronski?
Here.
Commissioner Fowler?
Here.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item on our agenda is approval of the minutes of Thursday, November 3rd, 2011. Any discussion or comments? Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. I'll turn to item three, public hearings and business items. Item A, Boucher Volkswagen, Inc., Boucher Holdings, LLC. We have a public notice to be read, Mr. Deedle. And Mr. Fuchs, could you read the public notice?
Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, December 8th, 2011 at 7 o'clock p.m. or soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers of Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132. To hear public comment regarding an application by Boucher Volkswagen Inc. for an amendment to a special use permit for the operation of an automobile dealership upon property located at 6420 South 108th Street, such property being zoned B2 General Business District. Depending application requests approval for construction of a 13,884 square foot expansion of the Boucher Volkswagen Inc. automobile dealership building. Removal of 25 of the existing 274 parking stalls, in addition of 207 new parking stalls.
All right, I'm going to open this item up for a public hearing. That would be item 3A, Boucher Volkswagen Inc. Anyone wishing to speak, come forward to speak on item 3A. Please. Yes, sir. If you could please state your name and address for the record, I appreciate it.
Frank Holt, I own the property at 10400 Whitnall Edge Court, unit 104, which joins that the property in question. I just wanted to say that I haven't seen any plans as to what where the structure is going to be located or anything. I was here when they first got the variance to put in the property there. And at that time, we expressed our concerns about noise, and I think they did a real good job. The only thing I think that I'd like to see would be some sort of a, high fence or noise berm or something. If these things are going to get closer to the property, most of the noise that I've had trouble with in the past are the trucks unloading at midnight, drop off the cars, and. They don't make a lot of noise. They didn't put in the big outdoor speaker system and all that stuff that the old car dealers had, and that's worked out real well. But with these trucks coming in and out late at night, especially in the summer when everybody has their windows open, it would be real nice to have some sort of a sound barrier in between us and them. So that would be my comment at this point. I have not seen any of the plans, so I'm just doing this off the cuff. So.
Before we conclude the public hearing, what we could do is have it looks like there's a possibility of some sort of presentation. Did you want to, am I correct in that?
Yes.
We can move forward with a presentation, and then we'll take further comment, maybe continued comment. Yes, please. I think is the TV working? I was told it was by Mr. Liberta, so he never lied to me. Last time we did this, we landed something on Mars.
Yeah.
Torpedoes away. You have to turn the TV.
Is this working? While they're lining it up, I'll just introduce myself. I'm Keen Chemnitz with Professional Consultants Inc., representing the Boucher Group.
Welcome.
Thank you. I've done all their work for over 30 years.
Looks like we have Christmas music on the TV, so it's a start.
Okay.
$28 million for the TV.
Yeah, and they don't work.
Jack's the one that sold us on this. Oh, it's in color. Good.
Yeah, how flat?
It's over there.
Yeah, right.
This is a historic moment. You might be the first presentation on this particular television. So you're on, I think. Oh, you're not on TV yet. Tripods are good.
Pictures, pencils, and back screen.
Somebody aldermen complained that they wanted to get out of here before 2 o'clock tonight. So.
Yeah. I think it would be the presentation first, though.
I was thinking about putting you on.
There we go.
Oh.
Okay.
Put
it
on. Oh.
There's an engineer.
Those two guys.
Yeah, that's your trouble.
I know. I'm glad I want to say thank you.
There we are.
Oh, look at that.
Wow.
Okay. I could listen.
Could you turn the picture?
$27 million for something.
Turn the picture.
People wonder where their tax dollars go.
There it is. All right. Success. There we are.
Okay, I'll give a brief explanation of this to everybody, but what I'm tracing here, this is Highway 100 up here, or the west. The lighter color in here, flesh color, is our existing facility that we built. We're building right during 911. We're very proud that for the last 3 years, Franklin's been good to us. The Boucher Automotive Group took over the number one spot in the city, in the state of Wisconsin, for Volkswagen overall rating for sales, service, quality, customer ranking, so forth and so on. And the only guy who's unhappy is Ernie, our friend who had it for about 40 years. But what's happening is our success is kind of, we're outgrowing it, because one of the hardest things we're starting to have difficulty with is what they call our customer service index, or rating index, and our service capacity. Right now on the existing building, what I'm tracing here, this is the service write-up area, the service reception where you would pull in to get your car written up for service. We're proposing an addition to that so we can take it from 4 cars that fit in there to 8, because the backup is in the morning. Our service demand is good, and that's good, but we got to take care of our customers. Then the existing service department I'm tracing right in here. This area right in here is virtually a 100% expansion of our existing service department. Because what's starting to happen to us is, obviously, anytime somebody's broken down, has a problem, you're going to take care of it. But if somebody calls up and says, I'm thinking about doing this or that, we're getting to the point where you're 10 days, 2 weeks out with appointments, and that does not help the customer service rating. So rather than being back here, so theoretically we could add on half of those bays and get by for a while, we'll be back here in a couple of years. The Rouchers feel their investment here was a very wise one in Franklin, and they'd rather go ahead and do it once and be finished. The addition, part of that 14,000 square feet addition, is up in this area. That is actually expansion of the showroom. I don't know if any of the neighbors have had an opportunity to be in there. It's a very specific showroom and so forth, so that would not be touched. When I get to the elevations to see how we expand it, but we don't have enough room for salespeople, we don't have enough room for customers, and we certainly don't have enough room for cars in the showroom as Volkswagen increases their models and gets higher and higher international ratings for their vehicles. All of that expansion means a minimum of 25 new jobs for the Boucher Group in Franklin. Of course, not considering the construction and so forth. But what it does is, if we put this addition on, and increase our service business, which means more people who drop their car off in the morning, either take our shuttle or their husband picks them up, takes them to work, whatever else, the service cars take more space because they're worked on during the day, and then when they're finished, they're washed, they're put out back in this area. until you come back to pick them up, and a lot of tenant brings them around and it gets delivered to you. So you can't increase your service business and your sales business by potentially doubling it and take away parking spaces. The Boucher Group has owned the lot I'm tracing now to the east of us since we came here 10 years ago, 10 plus years ago. And we, through the august work of your engineers and our engineers and so forth, have figured out extensive and expensive ways of doing underground water storage so we don't have to try to add on to this pond, dig that up. We can leave more green space and so forth, and we're actually doing an underground system. I won't get into it. If questions come up, Jack can answer that. So we are proposing this new parking lot. Now, what we're going to do with this new parking lot is this berm that I'm tracing runs from 9.5 feet high from your grade on your side. We've actually got a 3-foot retaining wall there, so it's even lower down to the parking, to about 8 feet high on this side. Why does it vary? Fortunately, this is the closest building in the whole development, and this gentleman who lives right on the second floor here was at the neighborhood meeting, which was awesome because it was the closest neighbor and he got to view this. So when you're asking questions about noise and berms or fence, so you've got this 8-foot berm that runs along here. Then we're going to stagger a row of pine trees on top of it that'll go in at a minimum of 7 foot tall day one. Now, for those of you who live here, it's just the pine trees that we put in here 10 years ago are now like 15 foot tall and all grown out and so forth. And in fact, the gentleman that was here brought up a thing I hadn't thought about because I didn't really know it. He said, too, like you did, that you like to keep your windows open and so forth. But his noise was more just the constant drone of Highway 100 because he's really close, right up on this corner and up the hill where the noise rises. So I hadn't even thought about this, but with an 8-foot, no more tall grass berm with the pine trees on top of it, he immediately thought that what that's going to do is cut down his noise from Highway 100. They also, at the neighborhood meeting, did bring up the trucks. We checked into that, and we checked with Volkswagen, and we discovered that we can, so you tell us we have to, specify no deliveries after 9 o'clock or before 9 a.m. or something like that, so we can stop the nighttime deliveries. The other thing that you've had a problem with that came up at the neighborhood meeting, but we were aware of it, when we were here 10 years ago, you see this much wider driveway on the West Venture Drive? That was to be our drive to bring our car carriers in. Unfortunately, when everything's all done, and all the engineers are done, and all the hundreds of thousands of dollars are spent, we find out that there is a huge, and I mean huge, I'm not sure if it's, tell you the truth, if it's all electric or if it's telephone or what, but they're this thick, big lines that hang through there really low on these telephone poles, and the car carrier doesn't fit under it. So we went back and talked to the police and said, wow, we got a problem, and told them that we were going to park up here to on low, but now, if you're developing this lot, see this, there's two small curb cuts into this lot now that in talking with planning staff and so forth and so on, they'd ask us to close up, and we're proposing to build a wider one that these big trucks can swing into. So what this will do, and you see there's a gate. This gate will be locked. We've talked to the fire department. It'll have two padlocks on the gate, one of ours and one of the fire department's. So if the fire department needs access, they don't have to cut the chain. They can just open their lock. And if we need access, it will only be, and if we make these guys have to deliver during the 9 to 9 that we're open, then we can go out and open the gate. This is now designed so they come in here, get off of Whitnall Road, and then you see this big, wide, sweeping turn. So they come down. We're also, it's under a tree here, but we're modifying this curve too. So they can come in here, unload, and come back and go back out this way. So the people that were talking about, it's not like, I wish we could get a brand new car delivery every day, you know, a whole truck full, but we don't. But it happens, and if you're coming around this corner early in the morning and you run into a truck parked there, it's people mention that as a problem. So that's how we intend to resolve that with this. Now, this parking lot that we're intending to add, you'll notice that all of this parking, and all of this parking is what we call double stack, one car behind the other one. That means that is basically our back stock new car inventory, that there are not employees or people even coming and going. It's not like at a Walmart or something where these cars are moving all over the place. The only parking we anticipate, even at this time, to be normal parking would be some of those additional employees parking up in this row, where their lights are even actually facing that way, even though their lights could never get through the trees and the big berm anyhow. But this parking is to allow us to clear out a lot of this other parking for the additional service. I was speaking to somebody before the meeting saying there's no reason we have to put three red Jettas out in the front row. But one of the reasons Boucher Group weathered the recession as good as they did is while everybody else is having empty lots, Frank and Gordy Boucher said, nah, I believe in this country. Keep the advertising up, keep the inventory up. And when nobody else had the red Jetta, Frank did. And that's Frank Boucher is Gordy Boucher's son, who's pretty much the last few years runs the day-to-day operations and so forth. So even though you might see Gordy or hear his voice in a commercial once in a while. So when I go back and forth with Frank and Gordy, you know what I'm talking about. So Franklin's been good to us. We wanted to be good neighbors, and we actually were meeting all the codes, but Ron Romice gave us a little grief, Jack, about do you really have to build that berm that high? And I said, yes, 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 because I promised this guy over here that lives right in the corner, because if you take the height of the berm and the height of the ceilings, that means the berm itself is basically getting up to the floor, his floor level. And then you put the trees on top of it. Now, a second floor person actually has... He had another one, too. He said, by God, he said in a few years, he says, that'll even help that sun at 9 o'clock at night coming into my window as it gets real low. So I think what I'll do is just quickly jump to elevations so you figure out, see how we're adding this on. This is... I've been doing automobile dealerships for 40 years, and I've done at least 100. This is the first one that ever gotten written up in a newspaper with an architectural applaud. So unfortunately, architectural details on auto dealership are pretty much dictated by the factory. But this was written up in the Milwaukee Journal. I don't know if anybody saw it 6 or 8 months after we opened by the architectural writer Gould, as getting a real attaboy that finally an automobileership does something that looks like something. So what we're doing, I'm showing you the front towards Highway 100. That will never change. It's almost iconic. The pure German thing, Gordy was the first guy, and there's not many of them in the country, frankly, that really stepped up and did 100% of their program with the 3-inch slanted glass and the ACM they call the hat and so forth and so on. And for those of you who've been in the showroom, you see what it is. It's spectacular. So to add on to that, right now the building stops about right here. So the addition that you're seeing, we're doing with the exact same plaster materials, the exact same windows and everything, so that in reality, I guess she's retired now. I would hope she'd come back and say, hey, they added on to that thing and it still looks good. So we aren't changing that. This way or north from where the building is right now, nothing changes because we're not adding more doors to the service reception. We're adding more depth going east. So the first car that pulls in will pull further up. On the south side of the building, down here, here's the existing high bay windows that you see in the iconic design. The roof of the new showroom addition is up here and will end up with about 11-foot ceiling in it instead of the 25-foot ceiling in order to keep these clear story windows. These slotted windows that are part of the whole building are into the sales offices that are just moving to that far south end of the building to open up the showroom space. The new car delivery door that currently exists over on this side of the building, let me see if I can find that quick. It's right here. The new car delivery is off the showroom right here. That area is going to be taken into additional customer reception area, waiting area, kids play area, because if you're increasing your customer business the way you are, you also have to increase that area. And then we replace the new car delivery on the south side. I guess it really means nothing to you as neighbors. It just means that as much as we possibly can, a new car is delivered out of that special space where the person goes through there, how it runs, especially with all the sink and stuff in it now, and then away they go. So that is the gist of it. And in deference to the board, I'll stop, but at least now people who have questions might be able to have a more informed one.
And we're still in public hearing, so anyone else wishing to come forward and speak, and please state your name and address.
You were mentioning,
sir,
on
if
the
you
east
could,
end.
Sir, could you please state your
on
name
the east
and address?
End of the parking spaces, there's going to be evergreens planted. I'd like to know: is there going to be a fence around them parking spaces? There's quite a few parking spaces.
Just 1 second.
On the other page.
We need
the first page.
We need you to state your name and address for the record, sir.
My name is George Thiele, and I live at 10352 Whitnall Edge Court.
Thank you very much.
You can turn that page over. On the east end, where all the parking places are going to be, is there going to be a fence around there?
No.
No?
There's going to be a living green pine fence.
Is that going to be a distribution point for cars? You bring a lot of cars in that parking lot there. Are they going to be distributed to different dealers from there?
No, absolutely not. This is 100% the retail Boucher dealership.
And the only cars brought in there by semis or car carriers are the ones that are going to stay there?
Yes. Now, you and I talked before the meeting, so I don't want anybody what you may see, there's two reasons people think they're seeing cars leaving from a dealership. One is when a truck pulls in with 12 cars on it, four of them might be ours. And so they drop off our four, and then they continue on to another dealership. You never get to a point where, very seldom, I hate to say never, but it's probably never would. Whether it's a Chevy dealership, GMC, whatever, where all the cars on that car carrier really belong to that dealership. It would just never work transportation-wise. So the factories try to load up to go in Milwaukee.
Well, with all those new cars parked there, aren't you concerned about vandalism?
Yes.
Do you have plans to...
Well, I guess that's us, and we work with the police department, and we do what we can, but we certainly do not believe you take a facility like this that's supposed to be warm.
That was the reason why I asked you if you plan on putting fencing.
No. We see dealerships with the chain link fence, and it just, we're not a prison thing. We're a retail business that's supposed to be welcoming retail customers. So we try to watch it as carefully as we can. Frankly, Franklin's doing something right because out of the 21 dealerships, we get, this is definitely in the lower percentile of vandalism that we have on vehicles. You get in different areas, we get more vandalism. That's what we're insured for.
Well, that was my biggest concern, considering... I thought with all that parking space there and all the new cars in there, with vandalism, which no matter what neighborhood you're in, you're going to have this because young people, young children.
Well,
so I thought it's not all the parking, all the automobile dealers, they have fencing around. Now, that's,
If, now, right in your area here, if you go up down the street in Highway 100, you'll see Gordy Boucher's. What was Saturn? That Saturn went away. It's now been renovated, completely renovated into a Nissan. No offense. We have what Gus called Gus's Park. In fact, one of the things I did want to mention, you're not supposed to be patting yourself on your back, but when we look at our landscaping, it kind of looks like a Franklin Park compared to our competitors across the street. We have a lot of toward conifers and deciduous and so forth and so on, and it looks nice.
Just a question, sir. Is it that you would prefer that there be no fence?
No, that's why it was the reason I brought it up, because if you're going to put fencing around that area on the north, east, and south, then I would be concerned about having shrubbery so you don't see this fencing, because it would be a detriment to the area, you know. That's what I was thinking.
That's the purpose of the public hearings, is to get comment from the public so that the commissioners can weigh in and incorporate. So, thank you.
Right.
Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing?
Yeah. Kendall Brunig. My office is right to the north of there at 10535 West College Avenue, and I own actually three of the properties that adjoin this to the north side, which would be, 10700 West Venture Drive, 10610 West Venture Drive, and then the back corner there. And I just wanted to make sure that you're aware I do support the project. The only issue, probably the only real issue, is with truck unloading, and you're addressing that here. Currently, they unload sometimes on the street, sometimes on Venture Drive. And what happens is the truckers are coming here from who knows where. And they, you know, I understand their issue that they can't control them very well sometimes. And, okay.
But we have to have a place to put them, and we can get better control. We have talked to VW and talked to the shipping distributors, and they now have a program, because trust me, you aren't the only people that don't like hearing. What they're hearing is the car carriers ride high. Then when they unload, their hydraulics drop the whole trailer down so the cars can drive off easier. And it's not nearly like it, but it's kind of the same reaction of a Jake brake, you know, for 5 seconds.
Yeah, and actually that's not even my issue. They're just fine unloading in Venture Drive. But what happens is I catch them unloading in KinderCare's lot. I catch them unloading in both of my lots. And so I have to chase them out. And, you know, I may not be there all the time anyway. So
have you met Pat Easterlin, the GM?
I've been over there before.
Okay. Pat Easterlin, what I'm doing, I kind of like to get on the record for everybody here, is even if you call a Boucher Group, Boucher Group's 1,000 people and 20-plus dealerships and all over the place, and I can't guarantee you get to the right person. Pat has been the manager of the store. He lives in the city of Franklin since it opened, and he is the guy. I mean, I knew he was passing out cards at the public, at the neighborhood meeting.
Well, and I'm happy to see, because you're addressing it already, because you've got a designated location for him now, which is good, because you should be able to get the drivers to go to the designated location. Should.
Especially when it's during the day and we're going to meet them to unlock the gate.
So, and then the other is there's more parking now. And I know that when I've talked to the managers before, what happens is they've got a lot of cars. So all the employees, the first thing they do is they fill every spot in the street. So now you have more parking now. And it's not that big of an issue, but at least now if they have more parking, they should be able to actually get their employees to park in the lot. But regardless of those issues, even if they didn't fix them, I still support it.
Well, I sure thank you for coming out on a cold night to say that.
Yes, sir.
I have one more question. I have one more concern. You know, Whitnall Edge Road on the south, that road is in bad shape now. What's it going to be like when you keep hauling these semis in there all the time?
Mr. Bannon, are you going to address that?
Well, we'll take a look at it.
Yeah.
It's
the city's job to keep that up.
You know what I mean? I mean, the road is really rough. I mean, the one part of it from Highway 100 or 108 Street, whichever, that's been sort of taken care of. They've been patching that up. But east of that, from all the way up to where that
you
have...
Can you point on the drawing?
Pardon me?
Can you point on the drawing?
Sure. This area here, this part here has been taken care of. This part here.
Up to their drive?
But all this area here, up to about here where you're going to be bringing cars in, that is really rough. That needs a lot of repairing right now. And
that's a public road, but one thing I do want to interject there is a car carrier that comes a couple of times a week. No, they're light, actually, per axle. They're all air. You understand? A truckload of lima beans, a semi-truckload of lima beans going to a grocery store is way heavier than a car carrier. So...
We'll take care of that.
But I'm trying to say that this year. Yeah. So there's the traffic with these big carriers, and it's going to need constant repairing. Who's going to pay for that?
I'm going to get all over Jack Bennett to make sure that that gets taken
care of. He'll have to pay for it.
Our increased taxes.
We're just breaking him in. He's only got 42 years. All right, anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Anyone else wishing to speak? Yes, sir, go ahead.
I just wanted to say my concerns have been addressed, and I used to have a Volkswagen, so it was there, so go for it.
Thank you very much.
All right. If there's no other public comments, I'm going to close the public hearing. And Mr. Deedle, what's your pleasure? What are you asking for from the...
There is both a special use and a CSM with this project. We are recommending approval. There is a couple of things I do want to point out, though. The parking, the size of some of the parking stalls are less than what the UDO usually requires, primarily in their display areas. But that's the case in the current area as well. So that current special use allows those smaller spaces, and they're asking for those same size again in the new area. And then they're asking for a deviation to allow that. The landscaping, the number of trees don't match the UDO because they're not counting the display parking area as well, but the same issue applies there. They didn't do that in the original special use either. And then the third would be there should be a landscape buffer yard easement where this berm is going to be. UDO requires a landscape buffer yard between different zoning districts. So I want to point that out. Signage is not part of this approval. That will be separate. And we do have some concerns about the berm, how steep it is, and Jack's willing to talk about that in more detail. But staff is recommending approval otherwise, but we'd like to point out that those variances or deviations from the UDO requirements are already existing in the existing. That's it.
Okay. Commissioners? Commissioner Ritter?
I appreciate your comments. And we've got some of the answers to the questions I'm about to ask you, but I'm hoping you can expand on a little bit. Comments about concerns about delivery and timing. I was wondering if you could show where the deliveries currently either occur or are supposed to occur. I think you could pretty much already indicated where you intend for them to occur in the future, but the situations that the neighbors are having to deal with now, where are deliveries supposed to occur and where have they been occurring?
Where they were supposed to occur was to come in this way. This driveway was made wide way back in the original, but we found we couldn't get under that line. So we did go to the Franklin Police Department and say, we got a problem. And they told us, and now I've heard that depending on the trucker, if he's from Kentucky or Indiana or what he is, I've heard they've also been using Venture Drive. But it was our understanding that they were using Whitnall Edge Road back between our driveway, so it was far enough back from Highway 100 to prevent any problem stacking or something. But it sounds like we can cut all this off, because I think when you're seeing these guys, maybe if they are dumping off at midnight, they're going to go anywhere.
And that's my concern. I appreciate that you've got a new plan and that you're going to have some, going to have that entrance blocked to the back parking lot there. But my concern would be, if you can't control when they arrive, then the fact that you've got that gate closed isn't really going to change anything.
No.
If they arrive in the hours that you designated when you're open, yes, they can come in there and they can pull up where you intend for them to unload. But if you, that alone won't be enough.
As part of our CU, what I was saying, and we checked with Volkswagen, we can control this. Okay, so we will not allow them to bring cars in after hours. Basically, we're we're really 7 to 9 during the week, if you count service all the way through the last dog, and then you've got, well, I don't think they deliver on Saturdays anyhow, but we have some Saturday hours, but they aren't going to be able to deliver when it's not open. They will call ahead. We will meet them up here to unlock this gate so they can't be going to the wrong place, because they got to go to the gate and meet somebody. It may take a little while to work on it, but there won't be any midnight deliveries.
Well, I would encourage you to, you know, to pursue that vigorously, because right now it sounds like they're showing up when you're not open and they're going and unloading anyway.
They are, and what?
And so that's why I say having a different plan and then blocking the entrance you want them to use could result in just having the same situation you have now. So that's why I'd like you to put it in our CU. Yeah.
I can show it to them, because they said they can do it. See, this is something that's happened through the whole industry, because they're trying to accommodate the truckers. This trucker wants to leave, or he gets here at 12 o'clock at night. He doesn't want to have to sleep in his truck till 7 o'clock in the morning.
And all those factors will continue.
No, but I'm saying to you, in public, put in the CU, that is part of the condition, and they're going to have to abide by it. So if trucker doesn't like that, stay and have breakfast with mama before you take off.
No, I appreciate those representations, but I say some of the factors that have been driving this are beyond your best intentions to try to change. So
if he shows up in the morning and there's a bunch of cars helter-skelter all over it that some bozo dropped off at night, mm-hmm. we know the guy at distribution in Volkswagen to talk to.
Okay, good. Glad to hear that.
Alderman Skrowski, then Mr. Fowler, and Mr. Bennett.
I've been in conversation with both the dealership and Mr. Kamitz regarding all these items and some of the difficulties that have been occurred through the years, and there's assurance, and they know my suggestions to them, which are very much taken, to correct the stuff, especially on the road, delivery times, and with the new facility, is going to make it much easier for them to get in, bring their trucks, and disperse those vehicles and put them in there and then leave again without much or any inconvenience to the neighborhood around there, plus the noise. So they've done a very good job on planning this out. They put a lot more trees, and I guess I'm going to disagree with Joe. It may be there, but there's a hell of a lot of trees that we have talked about in greenery in order to buffer that area tremendously. And as far as the height of the berm, their engineers have put it up and designed it, and I agree with them 100%. And I know there's some concern from Mr. Romise, but I dispelled that right to start with, because I think it was more personal than anything. They have to take care of it. They have to keep it. They have to maintain it. And their assurance is going to be there. They're not putting all this money in there to just do it for a couple of years and then move away. So they're putting their money where their mouth is, and they're going to be doing it. And I have the utmost confidence that they're going to satisfy the neighbors, take care of them. They've had their public meetings. We discussed about that, to bring in the residents, to talk to them, make sure they do that ahead of time, bring up the concerns. I'm very comfortable with it, and I appreciate the residents being here and people from the homes that are just to the east of it. The concerns were met the first time they came in, and they were very understanding about it. They run a very good, clean, operational business. I'm very satisfied with them. So I'm very happy.
Mr. Fowler?
My question was addressed by Commissioner
Mr. Bennett.
Yeah, two things. And we were concerned, and still are, somewhat concerned of the berms. Our normal code is a 4-to-1 slope on a berm. That you can mow with a tractor mower. A 3-to-1 berm is kind of the alternate to a 4-to-1 berm. Generally has to be hand mowed. They're coming on with a 2-to-1 or less than 2-to-1 berm, which we have some concerns with. We have checked with the state specs, and they are going to use a straw mat on the berms fully on both sides, and there is some specs in the state transportation code to use straw on a 2-to-1 berm. We're going to plant a grass on the berm that would not need mowing. I think they're probably going to have to use some chemicals to treat for weeds, broadleaf killer, which is not too unusual that most of us use broadleaf killer on our lawns periodically. And I guess it's something that can be accepted, but I just want to bring to the attention of the Plan Commission that's something we don't really encourage is 2-to-1 berms. They're very steep. We understand why they're doing it. They just don't have enough area. There's not enough room to put everything on. You want to put that little piece of paper I had on for the stormwater management up there? They're doing something a little bit more unusual in stormwater management.
Maybe I can zero that. You have a copy in front of you, by the way, for stormwater management. They are going to be using underground tubes to store the water. That's because they really don't want to utilize any more space for stormwater management than they already have, because they're really fully utilizing about every square inch of this parcel. We don't have any objections of the underground tubes going in. These are very similar to what was used for Dental Associates. I'm not exactly sure. I don't think we have the final detail of the design yet, but very similar to what was used on Dental Associates. If you remember, Dental Associates had a small above-ground water retention basin and then the underground storage. This is usually a much more expensive solution. But when you don't have land available, we had the same problem with Dental Associates. They just didn't have available land beyond what they bought. They were just locked in, and same thing with Boucher here. They're locked in. So I guess we're satisfied. The berm will work, and it's as high as it is because I guess the neighbors want it that high, and the only way they can get it is 2-to-1 slopes. But just want to express our concern that we really don't encourage going to 2-to-1 slopes. Hard to even walk on. I mean, it's 2-to-1. It means for every 1 foot for every 2 foot you go over, you go 1 foot out. So it's a pretty steep slope.
Mr. Micklig and then Mr. Fowler.
Is this a 24-hour lighting situation?
Yes and no. We'll be following the same thing that we followed with our original, where we shut off, I believe it's at 10 o'clock at night. In other words, we dual wire our lights. So all of the display lighting is on while you're open. And then at 10 o'clock at night, now you're making me call a little bit on memory here, I think about a third or 50%, we worked it out with the police department where we shut down a number of the lights when it's closed, but police department wants them on just for what this gentleman was talking about. It's easier for them to drive around and see if there's vandals in there because they can have their little flashlights, but so we have enough light. But you raised a real issue about the lighting in this back end because this is not display, all right? We only have to keep enough lighting here to keep ourselves out of court if somebody gets mugged going there. Fit exactly the foot candles, but you got to be able to read a license plate and that kind of thing. So what we're doing, which would be the best one to show this on, maybe I'll go back to the color. It seems to show up the best. the light poles. The light poles that are up against the east property line, which are 65 feet away and behind the this berm is 8 foot tall from their land, and then this retaining wall that we're doing, Keystone Wall, like the Keystone Wall matches in that we have on the site already, goes from 3 feet to about a foot and a half foot high, tapering with the grade, so that the berm always starts almost at the same height. Then the light poles that go along on this side at all are only 10 foot tall, one head on top of a 2 foot base. So I explained to people at the neighborhood meeting, the guy on the second floor here, the top of the berm is basically even with the top of the light. It's not up 20 foot in the air and so forth. The lights that are over on this side are 18 footers on a 2 foot base for 20 foot high, but again, they aren't the huge amount of light like we have out here. The light intensity, there is total photometrics and everything submitted to the city, but it's a very low intensity lighting. In fact, I'm sick of the lighting suppliers calling me and telling me we don't know how to light a car lot. No, you don't know what you're doing. You're next to a residential neighbor.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So the neighborhood has addressed the lights, and they know that there's going to be quite a glow coming up over the...
No, there really should. In fact, in reality, everybody back here should see less light than they see now because of the berm and the trees. And then the fact that the top of this light pole... Oh, and then we also have residential shields on the back of them.
Okay.
So even the back side of the berm, on our side, you know, our side of the berm, is going to be dark because all the light from that one head 10-foot high pole is going to be going this way. So they're not sticking up in the air. And this is probably 90% of the conversation at the neighborhood meeting was with this gentleman who lives on the second floor in this corner, and I see he's not here tonight. So he must have been satisfied.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mr. Fowler?
Yeah, just a couple of questions. Maybe this might be for Jack, too. I'm assuming with the increase in the impervious surface of the parking lot, this went to the district for chapter. Okay.
We've had our consultant review to see the piece.
So, but it will come to...
preliminary approval from Armstrong Associates that it meets both city and district.
And then on the, I'm assuming the pipes underground are designed for what design storm?
100.
Okay, excellent. And then the water quality treatment? Mostly for?
I think it's 40.
40% for solids? And
urban infill, 40% solids.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
40%
solids and 40, what was the other parameter?
It's an urban infill lot, so instead of the 80, it's 40.
It's just for solids. Okay. What is it a can water quality device or is it custom?
Well, they got a pond for the water quality and.
Well, I just see two water quality. It's a stormwater quality structure. I'm just wondering what that is. On the.
Did you get this?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at.
Should I put this back on? I'll put this back on here, Jack.
There's two stormwater quality structures. I'm just wondering if that's
it's a
separator or a...
It's in the pipes. It's in the big catch basin already with the water quality structure.
Correct. What is it? What's the design name of the device?
Oh.
I'm sorry. Maybe you don't know. I don't know what it is.
It's certainly in. I know Marty Wardman, our civil engineer, has been working with Ron and Bonestro.
Like Storm Scepter, you don't know.
No.
Let me know. I would.
Okay, we'll have to remove 40% for.
Okay, whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
Okay. I think it was Jack's water.
Yeah. Yeah, Aces.
I got the patch.
Yeah. Just curious. It sounds as familiar. So, I get to comment though, and that's that. Again, I was with a bunch of mayors and village presidents today, and last week I was with the U.S. Conference of Mayors. At Wingspread on their water conference. And everything that you're doing here, many of the mayors from throughout the United States would be thrilled to death to get this type of proposal in front of their plan commission with all of the landscaping and the types of water treatment systems and stormwater management programs in the ponds in front of them. In fact, that was 2 days of discussion about how we can improve water quality and price of energy and all that. So I really want to compliment you for voluntarily coming forward with these proposals. Instead of having the plan commission had to yank it out of developers, so to speak, or to beg developers to put these types of proposals forward. Second thing I want to say is that your business has been probably one of the better businesses that I can remember in the city of Franklin since I've been involved since 1999, and that we greatly appreciate the type of business and the quality of business that you have there. Your employees, every time that I interact with them, they are just the epitome of professionalism. And so much on behalf, I guess, as the mayor, on behalf of the city, I want to just extend that appreciation to you and to your business.
It helps to be number one.
Yeah, well, in that, and also, I mean, we're talking about a car dealership winning architectural awards, getting stories in the front page of the newspaper, whereas if you go out to parts of Waukesha, I don't know if that's 164, it goes right through the heart of Waukesha, but it's car dealership after car dealership. And there's no landscaping, there's no stormwater management programs. The lighting is, they just about turn it upside down so that faces right at the people, at the residents. And so I greatly do appreciate that you work so cooperatively with our staff and that you're just a terrific business. So I guess what I would do is I think we did conclude the public hearing on this matter, and I would recommend a motion. I believe it's properly in front of us. That would be to recommend approval of the special use amendment and certified survey map request for Boucher Volkswagen Inc. and Automobile Dealership and Service Center located at 6420 South 108th Street, subject to the conditions in the draft resolution and as specified and mutually agreed to by the Plan Commission tonight.
So moved.
Second. So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, five ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Is there a second motion that's necessary, Mr. Petito?
Yes, sir.
And what would that
CSM.
Be? CSM. CSM. Let's see. You have a recommended motion. I don't have one in front of me.
I can give you what Jesse created.
Okay. Yeah.
CM.
Usually I have that up here.
Here it is.
Okay, I got it. Item 2. Unless there's further discussion, is there a motion to recommend approval of resolution conditionally approving a one-lot certified survey map being a redivision of lots 1, 2, and 3, Whitnall Edge subdivision, and northwest one-quarter of the southwest one-quarter of Section 5, Township 5 North, Range 21 East, City of Franklin, County of Milwaukee, State of Wisconsin, subject to the approval of the related special use amendment resolution.
So moved.
Okay. Second. It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, five ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and I think the comments from the people were terrific and really helped the Plan Commission, so thank you.
I think that's what works when the petitioner goes out there and does the job ahead of time and goes out and talks with the residents and I know they've been very very accommodating in all my discussions with them.
I guess I'd also like to compliment you, Alderman Skronsky, but that's it. That's as far as I'm going tonight.
Yeah.
I'd say I'd like to.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, what's next? What do we got?
Temporary use.
Temporary use.
For Andy's gas station.
Do you want to go forward with that? Lead me?
Sure.
Pretend you're Moses.
Staff is recommending approval. There were a couple of things we wanted to point out, though, again. This is temporary use. Some temporary uses, the UDO allows staff to make the call, specifically identifies which ones. This does not fall under one of those. And if we have any concerns or questions, we can bring these to the Plan Commission. So the Plan Commission gets the final say on this. So Andy's is using part of his existing building for storage. Has been for a while, off and on. We have received a couple of complaints over the years about that storage. It wasn't part of the original approval. So we were working with them. They cleaned it up for a while, then it would come back. The guy would complain again, or somebody would complain again. So we were thinking special use to take care of this permanently. but he prefers to do a temporary use through June of this year. And we're okay with that. If the problem goes away, we're okay with it. So we're willing to give it a shot. If this storage is only used for the gas station, we didn't see a big problem with making this part of a permanent special use or as part of this temporary use. So we did note that there are a couple of conditions that the storage only be used for the gas station, not for anything else in other gas stations, not for anything else in the car wash. Our concern would be chemicals and large equipment. So with those conditions, staff is recommending approval of the temporary use, and I guess that's it.
Okay. Alderman Skransky.
Yeah, I guess I have a question about that. How did this come to your department? Was this a official complaint, or is just somebody calling in and saying, geez, he's storing his window washer fluid in a vacant space?
It's a neighbor.
It's just a neighbor that comes in. So there is
and filed a complaint.
Pardon?
And filed a complaint.
And there's a written complaint?
Yes.
Hmm.
More than once.
That's pretty interesting. The guy's owned this building ever since it went up. He's got some empty space there. He's been trying to rent it. And he's just putting his overstock stuff in there. And doesn't hurt anybody. It's inside the building. Keeps his property extremely neat and clean. And here we are trying to put conditions on the guy when he's trying to get something done and running his business, which is totally ridiculous. I mean, talk about business friendly in this community. This takes the cake when you got somebody that just got a neighbor that just don't like it. Well, I'd like to know who the hell that neighbor is and go over and take a look at his house and see how good he keeps his place. And I realize that, and I think there's going to be some discussion regarding this particular subject at the Common Council meeting, where I'm going to ask the mayor to put it on the agenda. I can see where the use of his own building for his own storage should not be temporary. I think it should be consistent until he rents the unit out and occupies it. Let him store the stuff inside. It doesn't hurt anything. Doesn't cost anybody anything. It's inside the building. He does not have any combustibles or things of that nature that would harm the building or be against the fire code. So I'd recommend leave it until he rents it. Give him the use, let him use the inside of those buildings for his extra storage. He's got a shelving rack that he changes on the inside of his store based on the products that he's needing. Let him utilize the space. He's paying the taxes for it. He owns the building. So I would recommend that should be changed to until he has those spaces occupied. Let him use it. Yeah, I don't know. I'd like to listen to my other commissioners, but that's going to be my recommendation.
I have a couple of questions quickly. Looking at the write-up, page 2, the write-up. And it says, in essence, well, let me ask you this. While the city of Franklin has a policy regarding complaints that they should remain anonymous. And I believe the city attorney has bolstered that on many, many occasions. Was there a finding that there actually was a violation of the ordinance?
Correct, yes.
There was a finding?
Yes.
So absent this type of action, the city would have sent out its normal letters saying, please come into compliance.
And we have before.
Okay. And if a person, not necessarily Andy, but someone else, under the same circumstances, would not have complied, then you would have been forced by the ordinances of the city to issue a citation.
Correct.
And then the party would have had to either pay the citation or appear in court to challenge it.
Correct.
Okay. So it is the ordinances of the city that are, when a person files a formal complaint, it's a justified complaint. It is the ordinances that would need to be changed or modified to allow for more discretion for good business people like Andy and others.
Correct.
And so it's if I understand this, and I haven't read it in great detail, but it appears to me that neither the staff of the city or the administration of the city, being me, as the CEO, has the type of discretion that other municipalities have where they could say, you know, that's a pretty good business. They've really been a good business. They really have watched what they're doing. and that seems like a reasonable use, so go do that. Because I believe that's probably in place in most other communities in the United States. In our particular Unified Development Ordinance, we have mandatory language that strangles and puts handcuffs on the management of the city. And so I get, rightfully so, I get aldermen and others that come to me and say, Mr. Mayor, why aren't you being reasonable? How come Mr. Deedle's being so mean to everybody? And you come in my office and you say, well, Mr. Mayor, we tried to do everything possible, but the ordinances are so tight, so restrictive, that it's only the Plan Commission and the Common Council that can bring reasonable to the table, right?
Right, and we stretch it as far as we can. This has gone on for a number of years. Whenever there's an improvement in the site, we file it away, case closed. But then something brings it back, either... And a couple of times there were potential tenants that could have been moving in there, so we stopped enforcement. So we try to stop enforcement whenever we can. When there is improvement, he cleans out part of the site so it doesn't look too bad. It's happened two or three times now. But then somebody complains and starts it up again.
Okay. So what we really, Alderman, the reason I'm doing this is because Alderman Skransky said, well, it's going to bring something to me. If there's going to be something brought to me to be placed on the agenda for the Common Council to consider, and it's a ordinance change, I believe most ordinance changes require public hearings.
Correct.
Maybe some of them may require one or two or more, depending on what the severity of the changes are going to be. Right?
Yeah. And how far it goes through the UDO, we may want to change a couple of things.
I really want to hear from Andy, because Andy does business all over the place, and I'd like to hear his viewpoint on our ordinances and how restrictive they are in comparison to many of the other locations and municipalities he works in.
Good evening, Mayor.
Mayor, Mr. Dole is right. I did have some stuff. I was helping some organization to store the stuff, and when I got the letter from them, so I was doing voluntary. I was not making single dime. I was trying to do a nice work for some organization to let them store something. When I got the letter from City of Franklin, I told them, I think it was maybe 3 or 10 days, it was moved. Right now, in 1520 and 1530, yes, I do have windshield washers. I have some displays, which I use it for myself. And I'm not bringing any stuff for other stations and storing it over there. It will cost me more to unload than put it on my truck and get it transferred. So I understand that the city ordinance is that, but on the other hand, you have to look at how hard it is right now with this tough economy to run the business. And I request the whole Common Council to look at that way, to come in my shoes and see how to run the business. Only thing I can do in front of you guys is be reasonable and extend this occupancy as much as you can.
Well, and I think when I first met you, when you were proposing to build your facility, which I'm still never going to come to the term gas station, because it's not, it's something much better than that. You told me, I think at that time, that you had 22 stations, if
yes,
not more, and they're all over, right?
Yes.
Do you run into the same problems or the or
only
ordinances?
The problems,
that are...
Only the problems I do face in the other cities or counties is if I am applying for the liquor license. Otherwise, I also want to put the stations which make sense, and I want to raise the bar to be better stations. Those kind of problems I don't have for the occupancy. Only sometimes I do have to face with the neighborhoods if I am applying for beer or liquor license. That's the only problems I have to face.
Yeah, it's not because you're here, but you're very much like the last business we had in front of us. You're the type of business that I'm dying to try and bring to the city of Franklin. Your businesses that are over on Rawson and business on Ryan Road, all I hear is compliments from the people that go in there, and they appreciate the competitiveness that you bring. And so this is frustrating for me because I am constantly confronted with these types of claims of unreasonableness. Alderman Skrowski just about terrorizes me at a restaurant, never will pick up a tab. Anyhow, the when I get down to it, sure enough, I mean, I must have had 200 conversations similar to this since I've been the mayor. And it all comes down to, well, Joel, why can't you do this? And Joel says, the ordinances don't allow me to do it. And then I go and I hear from everyone, well, that's not the case in all these other municipalities. And I hear it from all the businesses. I mean, to the point where it's no longer, yeah, they're just telling you that. It's real. And so if we're going to make some changes here, and the Common Council is going to make some changes, and you want to be more competitive, then we need to, I'm not saying throw the baby out with the bathwater, but look at the language in here. I mean, as a former contract administrator, and Joel, and I'm looking to you to look at this language that you deal with on a daily basis and bring back to the Common Council recommendations to give you more flexibility so that we can say, okay, Andy, that's, you know, we understand. It's now you're sure you're not putting fireworks in there or something like that. You're going to give us a promise and all that. So that we're not standing here with one of the better businessmen in Wisconsin right now who's angry at this city.
Mr. Mayor, can I say one more?
Sure.
On 51st and Ryan, I had 1,012 square feet. A young lady wanted to move from Oak Creek to Franklin. She wanted to put the nail salon. She already had a built-in customer. She comes, she was paying me $1,000. Everything grows. I was taking care of the rest of all the bills. City of Franklin wanted to have some kind of different unit, which was costing, the equipment was costing $8,500. The poor lady is working her butt off to make $1,000 to pay my rent and make some bucks for her own house. City of Franklin gave her so much hard time, she left in 8 months. I had a lease for 1 year. I, being nice to her, I said, listen, I will let you go without any penalizing you. Because she said, if I have $8,500, I can do other things also. I'm here from morning to evening to take care of my customers. City of Franklin wanted to have some kind of air pollution thing. And she said, in Oak Creek, she don't have that thing. She just came from across street from Pick and Save, that building where the cousins it was.
You know what I hear, Andy? How come all the businesses are going to Oak Creek? Wonder why. You know, maybe they're not starting a conversation with the businesses here by starting with the word no, or you can't do this or you can't do that. I mean, we are in serious economic straits in this community. And this discussion needs to take place. Joel, go get the best practices. Go find out how we do this and bring it back to the council. That's your job. It shouldn't have to be up to an alderman. It shouldn't have to be up to the mayor to go do that. You're hearing this. It's been going on 200-300 times. Now it's time to bring it back. Now, some of the things that you may bring back, some of the plan commissioners say, well, Mr. Mayor, that you're relaxing the language too much. Okay, but that's where we debate this. And we try and straighten out and we find that word reasonable in the language. Maybe, when was this put in place, 97?
97.
Okay, 97, when the city was trying to hold back the amount of development coming in, maybe this language worked. But it's not working now. It's just not working. And you and I have had some discussions recently where I'm very close and I'm serious about this. I've talked about it. Coming into the Common Council, throwing two unified development ordinances down in front of the council, whether it be Hartford or somebody else, and abolishing the entire UDO. It's not an idle threat. Either this gets done, or the council's going to throw this out, and it's going to put everybody around here in turmoil. So I'm throwing out the gauntlet, and I've had enough of aldermen, and I'm looking at the other aldermen, coming up to me saying, the stuff that's going on here and the things that we're turning down as a community are ridiculous. And now you've got, and Andy, it's Andy's gas station. This is Andy. He's the Andy for the whole Midwest. The gas stations he built win national awards for architecture. I don't think I've been at your station, either one of your stations, where it hasn't just been absolutely perfect. Everything is manicured. The employees are courteous. All those things. The last thing we want to do is to be driving out these types of businesses. We want Andy to tell everybody he knows, come to Franklin. So, it's, and you're the planning manager, so you need to do that. Mr. Fuller?
Just two issues. If I understand this correctly, the storage of the materials inside the building are what is at issue, whereas when I've been over to the some gas stations in Franklin, where the same kind of windshield wiper is stacked near the pumps or for sale, which to me would be less sightly than having a storage inside a building. That would be legal and okay, but then this practice of actually storing it out of sight, away from the public view, is now deemed illegal. I find that confusing and don't understand it. And secondly, Mayor, would it be possible, if this has been an issue and we have this UDO, it needs to be resolved, I'd hate to see you have to use the what I would consider a nuclear option and just abolish it completely. Would this be something that perhaps a combination of the Economic Development and the Planning Commission could form a committee to review the UDO and come back with joint recommendations, both to the planning, and again, I apologize if I don't understand the proper process, but then come back to the Planning Commission. Now, I don't want to get off the agenda, I hope I'm not. So this, to avoid this problem from happening, that we would form this joint committee to then resolve those issues, and it also might get to something that John has presented to the Trails Committee, our Complete Streets. We could form this group and do several things at once.
Your simple answer to your question is, as we get a little bit further down the agenda, we get to the Mayoral Ad Hoc Development Review Committee, which was supposed to deal with these higher-level issues as we get closer to the UDO. In the process, we created a Forward Franklin Committee, and the CDA has now got different responsibilities. So I asked the city attorney yesterday to work on some language to move the Mayoral Ad Hoc Development Review Committee's duties and responsibilities under Forward Franklin, so we have this all under one roof. Otherwise, we've got duplication of effort with these things. So simple answer is I think what we need a subcommittee of the Plan Commission and either a subcommittee or the Forward Franklin Committee to sit down and do exactly what you're saying. But we also need to take into consideration that we've had the head of executive director of the Metropolitan Builders Association in, and we've had others that have come in. The executive director, I believe, is citing two UDOs, Hartford and another, which is not coming to mind, Grafton maybe, and basically saying those are the types of proposals that he believes will be most beneficial to make us most competitive. Now, somehow we got to get in the blend, taking Hartford and Grafton and also trying to do Middleton, because I think Middleton has the very high standards. But to accomplish Middleton, but put ordinances in place that give you the flexibility to make that happen.
And I agree. I get concerned, though, when I hear the word competitive. I mean, what are we competing for? I want to make sure we're competing for the best developments, not allowing... I mean, our UDO is tough, and part of it, there are times when I'm glad it's tough, but there are times in this case where it seems we're beating up.
Century, five-star coffee.
Yeah.
Let's fill them up.
The idea that I would have is, I think the concern would always be that you have the right balance of people reviewing the UDO so that you take into account the natural resources, you take into account the maximizing of good development, and we're not just kind of throwing the door open and saying, hey, we're open for business, bring everybody in, without some review.
Well, and I think when you get into new development and all those things, all the great provisions that are within the UDO, you know, preserve them, enhance them. Again, maybe put some flexibility in there, though, so that we, staff, myself, can work within this very, very tough environment.
Well, and I appreciate you adding Middleton, because I think that's some of those more progressive communities.
I love Middleton.
I like the idea because when we have new development come in, we want to set the bar high in certain areas. We want to ask for certain things up front. And you can't ask for those things or get those sorts of considerations unless the back end, which is these little things, are taken care of. And you've got to clean up the mundane things so that they know, well, if I go that extra yard and create a walkable structure or put a little sidewalk in the side, I know I'm not going to, 6 months down the line, be taken to task because I'm using the wrong dryer for the rags that we're cleaning up with, that sort of thing. But by the same token, I'm on the Forward Franklin Committee. Forward Franklin. And we had a developer come in last week and tell us what Franklin needed. And you've got to be a little careful because what Franklin needed that night was to develop his land. So as long as we can keep a mix together of what we need, what the city needs, its widest needs. And the thing that I keep telling the Forward Franklin Committee is extract value. No matter what you build, no matter what you redo, extract maximum value. So that means you're going to ask things of people. And if you're going to ask things of developers and of commercial clients, their clients in the city, you have to be able to take care of these kind of things. And so I agree that that would be a high priority.
If I could follow up, Mayor, just like, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. No,
if I could just follow up, I like what John's saying about the extract value, but I also want to make sure that we understand that we're looking for long-term value. There's short-term value, and there's long-term value. And I think too often communities, particularly the outer ring suburban communities such as Franklin, we get a short-term value sometimes on some of the types of development that we've approved, and we don't get that long-term value, which grows the community into the future and carries them for 50, 60, 100 years. Just want to be sure that's part
okay.
of it.
Okay. And, you know, the thing that's bringing us to the forefront is I'm sitting here, and I've got Andy, standing at a microphone. Not that he doesn't have better things to do with his time, with the 21 or 50 stations he now has in the Midwest. But he's taking the time because he wants to point this out, that this is a serious issue. And, you know, I greatly appreciate that you've taken the time to come here.
Well, I appreciate everyone's comments. On the record tonight, the mayor has directed city development staff to look into possible changes. The alderman has indicated his intention to bring the matter before the common council for discussion. Frankly, I think that discussion should occur as a way of kind of airing this out, considering related factors and providing some direction. Certainly, subcommittees, joint subcommittees, those are possible ideas, good suggestions, but I think that the council should discuss this and identify some direction to go before we start getting more groups involved here, and the council should be free to set whatever direction they consider appropriate based on their discussions. In the meantime, we have a matter here that will deal with this through June 30th of next year. As I understand Mr. Deagle's comments, you suggested the possibility of a special use, but it was decided to go with temporary use. I have said before that one of the essential characteristics of a temporary use is that it be temporary. A fixed date accomplishes that. Changing it to something open-ended as, well, when his space gets leased, I can understand the concept, but that's indefinite. That's not necessarily temporary. I presume what we have here has been reviewed by the city attorney. The city attorney is not here to comment on any changes that we might make tonight. I would suggest that we go ahead with this action for tonight. If June 30th arrives and there is, we can revisit the issue if it needs to be revisited at that point. Hopefully by that time the council will have had some discussion. There'll be some action having already been taken to give staff
staff more flexibility in dealing with this, or at least there will be activities in progress towards that end so we can deal with it at that point. But I would suggest that we simply go ahead with what we have scheduled for this evening. There'll be opportunities to consider a variety of different changes, and if we need to revisit this by the middle of next year, it can be done at that time.
Okay. Alderman Skrzynski.
Well, Randy, I disagree with you as far as this goes, because nothing's going to happen. You know how government works. It never gets done on time. And to put this on June 20, that's only 6 months away. I don't see that. He's kept this building intact, in good condition. He needs that little extra space. He's never gone overboard. He's used it on a very limited basis, only with what he needs. And this thing is like a recurring boil that just keeps coming up. And I cannot agree with that. I think it should be. He's been trying to rent the space. I have the ear of the business community in this community, very much so. All of them, I talk to them pretty much when there's something comes up, and I think this is so minute and just not more than aggravation to a business that is here and is good community business, that it is not hurting anything. It's not like asking he's going to put it outside and leave it there. And it's inside the building. It's like somebody putting an antique car in their garage. You know, and God knows we got enough of that stuff sitting on the driveway, too. You know, if we were to really get to it. So,
the way I interpreted what you said was take up the item that we currently have in front of us that's on the specific issue to address. And then the larger issue, which Alderman Skrzynski has brought forward tonight, is to get the Common Council to weigh in on this subject matter so that Ford Franklin and Plan Commission will know that if they're going to work on these things and the staff, that there's going to be some substantial support behind them. Not that you go out and you spend 450 hours on something, bring it to the council, and they go, no, we're not for that.
Well, that's why I suggested the discussion by the council to set some direction. Need to get some sense of what does the council want to do so the staff isn't spending a lot of time bringing in something that then the council won't adopt. That's why I see action by our discussion and direction by the council as being critical to this. Frankly, I've heard lots of comments, you know, disparaging comments about the Unified Development Ordinance over the year, but somehow we managed to never get around to changing it. If it takes this to finally get us around to changing it, if it takes a deadline of some sort, then I say, okay, let's put some, you know, some action where the talk is. Because I would agree, in the past, this has been an example of government functioning too slowly.
Right.
So I'll say, let's go with this for now. If we don't get something done by the time this expires, then maybe shame on us.
Yeah, but then he's got to come back again, Randy. No. That's what I'm saying.
No. I have a question. Well, let me try something. On the specific and narrowly tailored issue that is before the Plan Commission tonight on this specific item, I have a recommended motion to take care of this instant matter, and then we can turn to the larger matter, which is the ordinances. And that would be a motion to approve a resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of a temporary use for indoor storage of convenience store items for property located at 5020, 5030 West Rawson Avenue, so that Andy would be in compliance with the current language of the Unified Development Ordinance as it has been passed by the Common Council of the City. So is there a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Sir.
So moved and seconded. Under discussion, Mr. Fuller and Alderman Skrzynski.
Is there some magic about the June 30th, 2012 date? Is that a limit on the temporary?
He chose that date.
Okay. I said
Cindy wanted me to move the stuff. I said by that time my Larsa windshield wash will be gone because that's stored for the winter. So that's why I gave the date, June 30th. But that's what upstairs, when I came to apply for it, they told me you have to apply for the temporary permit. And that's why I did. Whatever it was suggested to me, that's the direction I took.
Could the language be, instead of a specific date, until such time as the planning manager of the city determines otherwise?
I was going to suggest we extend, we just change.
Okay, then I'm back to throwing out the UDO.
My suggestion was going to be that we strike the word June and replace it with the word December, but I understand Randy, Commissioner Ritter's concern that the attorney's not here to review any changes we make, but I'm just wondering if there's that we're just changing the month from June to December, but he's working under the direction of the city, and maybe he did that for some reason.
If it was staff's judgment this could accurately be handled by special use rather than temporary use, then I would say, you know, let's send this back to staff for discussion with the city attorney and work out a special use if that will be more accommodating to
the... The owner wasn't interested in this.
Then let's just do what we have and
move on.
Yes.
But Mr. Ritter, the city has sent me to the court also. I've been already in the court twice. And now the court date is December 16th. I'm just running around here and there.
That's right.
It's ridiculous. Would it be your intention when this expires to... Because if I understood your comments, that it was your intention that whatever is in the space now will have been removed by this point in time?
It should be sold by June. So if there's something else, then city will come again, and I have to come back again in front of you guys for the same thing.
That's my question. Would it be your intention after... this stuff is removed, that you would then put more stuff in at some point in the future?
No. But if it's not sold, then again the city is going to write me a citation, I have to come back. But only thing I'm requesting all of you guys, I have a competitor down the street from me. How many citations the city has given to that guy who has windshield washed pallets on the pumps 24 hours a day?
I have the answer to that question. In this particular situation, an anonymous complaint by someone was filed, or several. After the staff reviewed it, they determined, maybe with the assistance of other professionals, that there was indeed a violation of the current ordinances. The gentleman down the street, in the other direction, they may not have had valid formal complaints filed with the city.
It wasn't an anonymous complaint,
though.
It was a specific complaint.
Probably the same one.
A specific person filed a complaint, and
we don't
I'm not going to say
but
it was a person.
I mean, a person has to file a written complaint with their name.
Well, what I meant by that is that
we don't release them. Yeah. But it's not just somebody called up. And
I understood that.
So how about I request you just give me today's 7th, how about 7th, December 7th, 2012. Up to that, just extend it. By that time, everything should be clean.
And if it's not, I don't want to see him get an arrest by the same thing all over again. If the city hasn't made a determination, gone through the code change and everything else, and that puts him on the blocks again, which is ridiculous.
But just, I'm really not trying to belabor this point, but it's important because I think we have come to that point in time where now maybe we'll do something. If the staff, if myself, you as an elected official taking an oath of office, are confronted with a formal complaint that says that there has been a violation of the ordinances of this city, and after it's been investigated, et cetera, it's found to be that it is, in fact, a violation of that ordinance. By law, all of us, not county, not city of Franklin law, state law, are compelled and must follow and enforce the ordinances of the city. So the only real long-term relief that we have for people such as yourself, Andy, is to change the ordinances or to change the language within the ordinance to give more discretion to the staff of the city to be reasonable. And from the world that I came from as a labor negotiator, as a union negotiator, that's what you always strove for, was you strove for the words of reasonableness so that you weren't handcuffing either side. Unfortunately, what we have here is we have a document that was put in place, well-intentioned, at the time when development was coming in at, you know, Katie bar the door speed. And the gentleman that put it in place, who was excellent, he was an excellent planner and everything, still is, instead of putting in a guideline, putting in discretionary language, he put in a 400-page ordinance. And we've been dealing with this subject matter ever since. And now is the time to, if you're going to make some long changes to the way that the city functions, now put the ordinances on the table, debate them, change them, put the reasonableness in them, or get rid of them, and go and do what other forward-thinking communities have done. You know, plagiarize some other ordinances in some other city. Maybe Middleton would be a good one. And put them in place. Otherwise, we're just going to keep going over and over and over the same subject matter. You're just going to bounce your head off the wall that, well, it's the ordinance. It's the ordinance. Change it. Alderman Skransky.
I agree. We have to uphold the ordinances. I'm saying change the ordinances. But in the meantime, he's on a hot seat. I'm saying give him the relief that he's asking for and take this off and don't put a date on there. It's not hurting me anything. Because what he's doing now, it's against the ordinance. So if we, until we change the ordinance, he's still on a hot seat. But yet the guys that have the stuff on the outside, they're scot-free.
But we just asked him what the temporary relief might be, and he gave us a date.
All right.
So if we're amenable to doing that and change the date, we'll try and work during this time period so that as much as we like to see you, that we never have to see you again in this situation.
Right.
Or anyone or other business person that's been put in the same situation. So I would request that we amend the motion that's currently on the table to reflect the December 7th date of 2012. Who is the maker of the motion?
Oh, Randy? I'm sorry, Randy.
Go ahead.
I thought I said
you. Sure. We both said.
Commissioner Fowler made the motion. Commissioner Bennett seconded.
Mr. Fowler, would you be kind enough?
I accept the friendly amendment.
All right, as the second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, 5 ayes, no noes, ayes have it, motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming down here because you put a face to this issue that once and for all we need to deal with. So
thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
Okay, any other top ones? It's all your fault. Status economic development initiatives. Oh, I'm sorry, Alderman. Is there a motion to
suspend the
regular order of business? Is there a second?
Okay.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries.
Except
Alderman Solomon.
Alderman Solomon.
Yeah.
I'm glad you let him get out of here first. But when you go and put, and I won't speak into this, but. When Gordy goes to inspect this building, guess what? He's going to make him throw anything that's stored in cardboard, like the washing stuff. Because here's a building that isn't done inside, and there's no sprinklers in it yet. Because when this drop ceiling comes in, then the sprinklers go. So he's going to make him get all of his crap out of there, because it's a fire hazard, and there's no sprinklers in the building, I guarantee you.
And we did warn him, and it is in the resolution as well, that if the fire department has concerns, he has to address their concerns.
You address the other stations?
The other gas stations? Only if we receive a complaint.
It's normally in a storage room. There's not normally. There has to be a sprinkler system.
And I can note that the fire inspector has periodically filed complaints. This is not one of them. But we have received complaints from the fire inspector on issues.
Alderman Skransky, Mr. Bennett.
Yeah, this is to the point where I'd like to do some inspections, but I'm going to leave it go at that because you know where I'm going, and I'm right up to here with some of this stuff, so time to change things.
I'm recognizing that, and I'm also recognizing other aldermen, and there's, when it gets to the point when you have six aldermen in a city, and all six on an individual basis are approaching me on subjects, so as the mayor, it's probably a wise thing for me to listen to the aldermen.
I've been here for 40 years, and this business of enforcing by complaint only is the most ridiculous, because you got one person that you go after, and the next door, we've had it, you go out to somebody, and you say, hey, you can't have your sump pump come out of the back. Well, my neighbor is, what are you going to do about that? We don't have a complaint. And he says, well, I'm not going to. So we make him change his sump pump because that's the code. But the neighbor, he won't do anything. This whole business of complaint only is the most unfair thing in the world. Because first of all, you make neighbor against neighbor. Now, I don't know who complained. Maybe Mrs. Martin. I know Mrs. Martin that lives next door to us. I don't know who made the complaint. I have no idea. She's a little ticked off. She doesn't like the zoning on her property. I don't know if that was her complaint. I have no idea. I haven't seen a complaint. But the only thing I know is that when you do, like, you try to do enforcement by complaint only, you really put neighbor against neighbor, and you make it almost impossible for staff. Because it's not logical. It's not logical whatsoever. This person doesn't like somebody, so they complain. We have this all the time. I've been here long enough, and I kind of administrate it myself a little bit. If I think a complaint is unreasonable, I kind of bury it. But I've been doing this for so long, it kind of works.
I hope you don't think that's a big secret.
but that's about the only way you can do it, because by complaint only is so unfair. It's so unfair to people. One station, you make them toe the line. The next station is just terrible.
Yep.
And it's so unfair.
I don't remember this when I started off as an alderman. I was under the impression, and probably from talking to former aldermen, etc., that it was really the responsibility of the aldermen to take care of the complaints that came in their districts and to have the wisdom of Solomon and make sure that that was all taken care of. Somehow we've got off of that to this formal grievance tracking complaint procedure where Jack's absolutely correct. You're pitting one neighbor against another. And I think, not saying that any alderman in this room came and brought this thing forward, but I think it was just to get some stuff off of people's desk.
And then we go with blinders because we're told not to ourselves turn any complaints.
Because I don't remember these types of things coming up with formal complaint procedures when I was an alderman. It was just the alderman, you get a call as an alderman, go out and take care of it.
Yeah. That's what I do. I don't have any problem with my district. But I'll resolve it.
But if you go back further into this city's history, you'll find a period where there was a code enforcement officer, and that became a large political issue. I don't disagree with looking at code enforcement and how it is to be done. I'm just saying one issue at a time. Let's deal with UDO. After we've accomplished success there, then let's look at code enforcement.
You're right.
And complaints.
Since
back.
Yes.
40 years.
This cost me $5,000 in flooding my basement, because when I went to the city, when they burned over the drainage ditch behind my house, I was told the only way to get that rectified was for me to file a complaint against, and I had just moved into the house like a year and a half when I was looking at it. I didn't think it looked right that the drainage ditch was blocked, because I deal with this stuff. I was told I had to file a complaint against my new neighbor. And I was like, I didn't do it. And then in 97 or 98, when we got the big rain, I had 2 inches of water.
Well, given that this entire matter, item 3B, resulted out of the formal complaint procedure of the city, I think that the dialogue and the discussion has been healthy, but I think we should move on to item 3C.
Okay. Mayor, do you want a motion to return to regular business?
Yes. So moved. Thank you.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item C, status on economic development initiatives. I know that the Forward Franklin Committee has taken the subject up several times. In fact, it's on the front page of Franklin now that they have spent almost four meetings trying to go over it. I know Alderman Skransky brought it forward for at least a two-year period as the chairman of the Economic Development Commission. I was having lunch today, and a potential developer for a large parcel of land with it's got a big HD on the front of it in the business park was the subject of the discussion, and the discussion started once again. So, Mr. Mayor, what kind of incentives does your city offer? And that's kind of where that is. Item 3D, I think I covered that. I've asked the city attorney, who could not be with us today because of some illness, to prepare a resolution for the Common Council's action. That's to move the rest of the duties and unfinished business of the Mayoral Ad Hoc Development Review Committee to the Forward Franklin Committee. Because we're basically doing the same things right now. We're looking at all the same things. And then for them to come back to us when you get to the UDO provisions and those other provisions that are in the purview of the Plan Commission, and then we can take up their recommendations to us and study them and then hopefully make solid motions or recommendations to the Common Council. City of Franklin's conference, any questions or comments? I think that, I got to tell you, I think that the group on Forward Franklin, pretty impressed with. I think we just added Christine Iwinski. I think I met with her, had coffee, absolutely outstanding. Banker just understands all of these things. I've got another name or two names in front of me of individuals that want to sit on the Board of Franklin.
How many was that on there?
That's seven, I think.
How many do you have now?
I think there's six. Am I right, Jeff?
I'd be wrong.
Okay. Okay. Hey, you're out of order. So it's I'm very encouraged with that. The CDA, at least the way in which the CDA members are interacting with one another is very, very good. You know, I've said it before, but this is a pretty impressive plan commission as far as I'm concerned. You really got some, it's a diversity of opinion, but it's all good. You've got experience all over the place, and I think everybody brings a little bit to the table. Some pieces representing the people and their viewpoint, others stormwater management things, dean of engineering, marketing, we got everything. Mr. Ritter keeps us straight.
The sage. Straight
and then the wild mare. So with that, I'll turn to the, before I get any further, if I don't see you, I'd just like to wish you all happy holidays, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas
you and your family the best. And so with that, I'll turn it over to, who am I turning this over? Mr. Fowler with the Franklin Trails Committee.
Yeah, just four quick items. It is getting late. The mini grant that we had applied for, unfortunately, we were turned down. I've instructed Nick to, if he can, call and find out if there was a reason or if there's any kind of information they can provide us that maybe would improve our chances. But this is the second mini grant that we've been rejected for. We got a presentation by Jack on the 51st Street improvements north of Rawson. Initially at the meeting, we thought were recommendations for this, and I think Jack rightly recommended that the committee sit on this for a month, discuss it, look at it, come back to our January 4th meeting, and we'll make our formal recommendations in the form of a proposal that I'll bring to the Planning Commission, which will then perhaps go to the Council. I think that's the process we use there. Is that correct, Nick? They would come to Planning Commission and go to the
Yes.
And then We are looking, we had a presentation by John, I'll let John, if he wants to fill in anything on this as well, about the complete streets and about putting that as a formal, taking our committee and making it into more of a complete streets committee and maybe molding it. We had some discussion about this, and there are a couple of things we think we could use as transition to that. One of the items, I'm the prerogative of the chair, the one area I think I'd like to address, as we did 51st Street, because I kind of feel 51st Street, we've got a plan in place. It's just implementing the plan now. We're not done, but it's really just shepherding that plan through City Council, making sure those sidewalks get done, et cetera. But St. Martin Street and around Countrydale School, I think it's another area that I would bring to the
Planning Commission to
say, unfortunately, I understand this is going to be even more difficult because North Cape is a county road. So it would perhaps be something that we could use as impetus to say if we had a complete streets resolution passed, the county would then be forced by state law to listen to what we had to say about what they were doing about one of our elementary schools, which impacts a quarter of the kids in the city of Franklin. That's just something I wanted to let the Planning Commission know my thoughts on that, and I would take any. And John, if you want to add anything on complete streets, feel free. But I just would take any questions from the Planning Commission to be sure that I'm not overstepping my bounds or doing something.
Boy, you sure hit the right street with the right school. Alderman Skransky has called the county supervisor. He's talked to the current governor when he was the county executive, the current administration. I've talked to everybody down there about trying to get it fixed. I think that there might be someday when the fog lifts down around the courthouse, there might be a day where they come in, they approach us again with a reasonable offer for maybe taking that road and others off their hands after they fix it and repair it, right? And then maybe at that juncture, that's where you fix it right.
My understanding that that road is on their list to be repaired. It's a county truck highway. My understanding is they have it. The only reason it came up, someone else brought it up at the committee, but I was going to bring it up to our trails because it came to my attention in my other real job that road is on a county list to be done, and it's not, guys, it's low priority because they've not only gotten complaints from public officials, but they are getting tremendous scrutiny.
Ultimately turn over, and that would be a city street.
Well, but my understanding is until it is a city street, we have very little to say to the county about how it is built. And I wouldn't say zero. We could go over there and like chain ourselves to trees and stuff like that. In talking with John and reading the materials that John provided, which I just recommend to all the planning commissioners, that with the complete streets resolution by the community, that if they wanted to do that, and again, it would require council action. I'm not going to try to supersede the council, but it would then allow us to then tell the county, we are a complete streets community. You shall, as stated by state law, we would recommend you do these things. And if they're reasonable and fulfill the complete streets guidelines and the state guidelines, they must do it.
Let's put it on the council for the next council.
I don't know if that's...
No, I'll tell you why. Because the timing could not be better for that discussion to occur.
Well, I would hesitate to do that, Mayor, until we have time to really fulfill. I would love to do that, but my concern would be that we are not ready to answer questions. I'm not. Maybe John would be, but I would feel more comfortable maybe going at a later date. But it should be done quickly. But at some point, we need to do it.
Good. Skransky and I will just put it on without you.
Yeah.
John.
Well, just to expand a little bit about on the complete streets, I believe. 2 months ago, I gave the complete streets presentation here. It's a program that's met with a lot of success across the country. They don't have a very good football team over in Minnesota right now, but they have some good complete streets programs, and they've been seeing some fiscal rewards from some of the things they've been able to do. And in the discussions that I have when I'm in an EDC meeting, when I'm in a plan commission meeting. When I'm in the Trails Commission meeting, we're talking about the same sorts of things, And if we can create a body that can transcend what we have right now, the barriers we have right now, when it comes to creating connections in the community, creating more commercially viable commercial areas, any of that's going to help. And when it comes time to redo a street, to have in place already the requirements that we want to see, that's going to make things less expensive, make things a lot quicker. We can go for grants we never even knew existed before. So, and just to reiterate, complete streets are project-oriented. They're location-specific. So a complete street in Omaha, Nebraska, is not a complete street in Franklin, Wisconsin. It's different depending on where you are, who is living there, what your needs are, and that will serve us well. But in order to do it, we have to bring in as many different municipal organizations and citizen groups as we can, so that piece by piece we can extract value. That should be the mantra: extract value.
And then the last item was that I believe the city council did take up the matter of amending the master plan. And yes. I had planned to be at that meeting. I want to apologize for my lack of attendance at that council meeting. The first time I had to realize that. Because I had planned to be
there. So I don't think there was any hesitation at all. There was, in fact, you may have made the motion. As soon as it came up on the agenda, it was moved approval.
So you guys didn't even miss me.
I just spent most of the evening going, Fowler, who? Is there anything further?
If on this agenda item or on?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's got to be on this agenda.
Oh, thank you. I'm not. Oh, if any planning commissions would like to.
Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So
second.
Second. Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. We adjourn.
Is it next meeting?
This is
That's what I was going to ask about. Yeah.